A new write-in candidate brings Skagway Assembly contenders up to three, and the story of a Chilkat Robes homecoming. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Skagway has another write-in candidate for Borough Assembly. That means there are now three contenders for two open seats. Philip Clark filed as a write-in candidate Thursday morning. The 17-year Skagway resident works as a carpenter for the National Park Service. He says he wants to give voters options.
My motivation is primarily what appears to be a lack of motivation by other members of the community. It didn't seem like anyone seemed to be very interested in the offices, and I thought people should have an option at the voting booth rather than one person and nothing else, you know.
Former assemblyman and restaurant owner Dan Henry is the only resident who filed for assembly in time to get his name on the ballot. Retiree Dewey McCracken later registered as a write-in candidate. Like McCracken, this is Clark's first bid for public office. Clark says if elected, he's interested in addressing Skagway's air quality concerns and housing shortage. Clark says he was opposed to a recent ordinance aimed at allowing higher density housing in residential general zones.
There's a lot of new housing units going in, multi-unit buildings, and honestly, I'm not a super big fan of that. I'd like the city to address housing issues in other ways. And while I haven't explored them right now, I would love to explore different ways.
Perhaps the biggest issue facing Skagway right now is the future of the waterfront. The city is in talks with White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad for a new 15-year tidelands lease. Clark says he has to play catch-up on that topic. He says he has not closely followed the waterfront situation. Skagway's mayoral position and two school board seats are also up for election October 3rd. Incumbent Mayor Mark Schaefer is running unopposed. There are four candidates for the school board positions. The deadline to register as a write-in candidate is September 29th. Southeast Alaska tribes celebrated the return of a long-lost ancestor Saturday when a Seattle couple donated back a 100-plus-year-old sacred Chilkat robe. KTOO's Trip Krause learned how the robe made its way home and why it's significant.
Drumming, dancing, and telling stories over an afternoon, representatives from three Southeast Alaska tribes celebrate the return of their Chilkat blanket. Tlingit Haida and Tsimshian members held a homecoming ceremony in the Shuka-Hit clan house in Juneau. But this story of the robe doesn't begin here. For more than 20 years, the sacred object hung on the wall in the Seattle home of Bruce and Gretchen Jacobson. Gretchen says her husband bought the blanket from a store in Seattle's Pioneer Square.
And Bruce saw the blanket robe, and he fell in love with it and brought it home.
Although Bruce Jacobson said the couple had the robe authenticated, not much is known about its history before he bought it. One of their daughters, Sarah, was reading an art history textbook and found a picture of a Chilkat robe. Recognizing the similarities between the picture and the robe that hung on her family's wall, she began researching. When Sarah learned of its sacred ceremonial significance, she insisted the family was trespassing on traditional Native culture. The couple reached out to the University of Washington's Burke Museum. Later, they contacted Rosita Worrell at Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, where they eventually donated the robe. The couple came to Juneau as guests of the homecoming ceremony. Commenting on the story of the blanket, several speakers say that the family is integrated into the story of the robe forever. That's something that stuck with Gretchen Jacobson.
I think one person had said that looked at the robe and said, you know, it's representative of how the weave is just representative of how everyone is connected and everyone's related and we're all part of the whole picture, and it was a beautiful thing.
She said she may never look at Native artwork the same.
To realize that, you know, you go, it made me think of all the different art forms you see in museums, and you think, wow, those are people's ancestors and spirits within these pieces.
Yelnawu, Joe Zuboff, calls for the spirits of the Chilkat robe to come home.
Tonight I tried to put in some back the spirit that everything we believe, everything has a spirit. Today is a big part of our history now. So a part of the history on that blanket that returned is a happy history that comes back. So
Zuboff represents Raven House in Angoon. He's also a caretaker for the Ra'u'u, or sacred clan objects. Many Southeast Alaska Natives believe that their sacred objects are imbued with the spirits of their ancestors associated with the items. Tlingit elder and artist Ken Kotanik, Paul Marks, thinks those ancestors had a role influencing Sarah Jacobson.
What took place today is as if our ancestors returned home to us. And the way it appears and sounds like to me is that the young lady who talked to her mom and dad, she heard the voice of our ancestors and that the blanket wanted to come back home.
His son, Paul Marks too, also spoke at the ceremony. He speaks first in Tlingit and then in English about the Nahain, or Chilkat robe, and its importance.
This is the way our At'u'u is. They are masterless items. We are caretakers. We speak, our words just move aimlessly about without our At'u'u. Achaya tlachkunach yage ataya. This is why Hajit awa achya nachain. That is why it is such a big thing that you have done for us, given us back this nachain.
Chilkat weavers hope to study the robe to learn how it was made. In Juneau, I'm Trip J. Krause.
It was a cool, rainy summer in Southeast Alaska. Ketchikan got the worst of it, with a record-breaking 45 inches of rain. While Haines and Skagway residents may feel robbed of their share of sunshine, meteorologists say the Upper Lynn Canal actually didn't have it that bad. Wes Adkins is with the National Weather Service in Juneau. He doesn't have much sympathy for Skagway and Haines this summer.
For all you and Haines and Skagway who feel like, oh, this is such a wet summer, well, I have some disappointing news for you. It has actually been maybe slightly above normal, but not significantly such.
The Weather Service counts the months of June, July, and August as summer. On the last day of August, Haines residents saw dreary weather characteristic of how much of the summer has gone. But Adkins says rainfall in Haines this summer was only about 11% higher than average. The norm is 5.86 inches of summer rain.
We got 6.49. That puts us in 30th place all time, which isn't too much to write home about. And just in comparison's sake, Haines got 6.49 inches for the entire summer. Ketchikan got 45 inches, and they're still counting. So, I'm sure many of your listeners, Emily, will say, well, this is why we live in Haines.
And once Skagway residents hear their numbers, they'll probably be saying the same thing. As of late morning on August 31st, Skagway's summer rainfall hadn't even surpassed the average.
And all told, for the summer, they're supposed to get 4.37 inches. Well, they've gotten 4.28 inches. If they can manage another tenth, then they will achieve, you know, a normal summer there.
Overall, this summer doesn't hold a candle to 2014. That is the wettest summer on record for both Haines and Skagway.
I'm afraid your listeners who think it might be a wet summer, well, maybe a little short memory span.
Haines was drenched with more than 16 inches of rain that summer. Skagway saw more than 10 inches of precipitation in 2014. Adkins says Southeast's rainiest summers pale in comparison with the effect of former Hurricane Harvey in Texas and Louisiana.
They've had reports of anywhere between 35 and I think 52 inches of rain over the course of just a few days. So it kind of puts, you know, what we've experienced this summer in, you know, a different perspective. And it just kind of proves how staggering and how epic this event down with former Hurricane Harvey has been.
The Upper Lynn Canal is due for a reprieve from the rain over Labor Day weekend. Adkins says the precipitation is likely to return by Monday. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.